You are about to participate in the most ambitious culinary experiment ever imagined.
This competition is going to test everything.
Adapt quickly to anything. I mean anything. The wildest day of your life starts right now.
All new 24 and 24 Last Chef Standing. Sunday night at 8 on Food Network. Stream on Max.
This is Gilbert Gottfried, and this is Gilbert and Frank. That's Frank Santopadre. Gilbert and Frank's Amazing Colossal Obsessions. And we're once again being recorded at Nutmeg with our engineer, Frank Ferdarosa. And our return guest is a guy that Frank basically spelled out this guy's name phonetically. Because it was one of those rare times that I fuck up a guest name. Thank God it doesn't happen that often. But in the one or
Ask
two
Cliff
times.
Nesterman.
Dick. D-D-E. Bar. B-A-R. Two.
No, toe.
Toe. Toe. A deer. A female deer. Ray.
A drop.
Anyway, it's Dick DiBartolo.
Close.
Close. Why don't you just let me say, hey, I'm Dick DiBartolo.
There you go.
Oh.
There you go.
Look, it wasn't as bad as when we were talking to Greg Evigan, and I had to correct you on the name in the middle of the interview.
Yes.
No, and he's talking about correcting Greg.
Yes.
You got that wrong.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's true. He was saying Greg.
He was about to form the word Glenn on his lips. I could see his teeth moving over his lips. So I slipped him a card because we had Greg on the phone. I slipped him a card that said Greg, and then he outed me on the show. He said, Frank just handed me a card that said, his name is Greg.
Oh, that's really funny. That's what you get for trying to help.
So Dick DiBartolo.
Yes, sir.
Yes.
My countryman.
From Mad Magazine.
Yes.
Yes.
Mad's maddest writer.
Thank
has
you.
Has returned to us. Dick was here with the Al Jaffe episode. Dick
right.
was the co-star of the Al Jaffe episode, but we spent so much time talking about Gaines and Mad and Al's experiences and Al's bizarre life.
Yes.
His very dramatic life that we didn't get to some of the wonderful stuff about Dick, which is his game show history. Because he wrote for Match Game and Tattletales and To Tell the Truth and so many.
All those Goodson Todman shows.
And all the Goodson Todman stuff. So we decided to have him back and talk some game shows.
Oh, okay. So, you know, the woman over there said that they called me back because I hadn't paid for the snacks last time.
No. Gilbert pays for nothing.
Oh, yes.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I thought they were free, but that's okay.
Yes.
Did you bring a prop?
I brought a prop.
Yes.
But I'll tell you the connection between Mad and Match Game.
Love to hear it.
Is I was hired by Goodson Todman to write questions for the Match Game. And a lot of people don't know, because of the syndicated version, that the original Match Game had all straight questions, like name a red flower, name a president who appears on Money, name a car, and that was the Match Game. And it was a year contract that Goodson had. And 10 months in, Goodson called me in and he said, look, NBC's not picking this up. So you have 2 months of shows, but I'm just telling you now in case you want to be looking as you're working on the show. And so over the weekend, I was thinking, you know, this is kind of fun working at Goodson Todman. So I came up with this idea. And on Monday, I said, Mark, instead of these name something you do with an egg, how about silly questions? He said, like what? I said, like Mary liked to pour gravy on John's blank. Okay, so Goodson laughs and he goes, well, what are they going to say? I said, they're going to laugh and they're going to say meatloaf, mashed potatoes, whatever. And he said, well, it's canceled. Do what you want because they can't cancel it twice. So we switched to those. And a month in, he called me in again and said, we got another year.
Wow.
So he said, keep doing this. And it went on for a total of like 18 years.
This is way back now in the early 60s.
This is in the early, yeah, the early.
And Gene Raven was the original host?
Gene Raven was the original host. And the thing with the microphone.
Yeah, that knitting needle microphone.
That giant long mic.
Gene would love to talk to the audience during commercials. And during every commercial, he'd walk out into the audience and ask them questions. And he could half the time not hear what they were saying. And one day he said to the sound guy, can you like maybe set up an audience mic? And the guy said, let me think about it. And then he said, how about a very long mic so that you can stand in the aisle and actually reach the first four or five people for them to give you the answers. So that's when he started.
So it was like a custom-made mic.
It's a custom-made mic.
It's very phallic.
Yeah, I know it is. And that's what everybody read into it. But it wasn't that way.
So you are essentially the man that took this sort of static, very pedestrian game show premise and gave it that twist that it became famous for.
The Dumb Dora. Like then it's like Hollywood Squares was those kind of questions.
Well, Hollywood Squares relied on funny answers. The thing about Match Game was there were no real answers.
So it was,
You know, I remember.
So it was just the question you laughed at.
Yes, exactly. I mean, it could turn out that the answers would be funny, but that would be whatever the person wanted. I remember Ethel Merman was on the show, and I would often walk the guests through what to do. And Ethel Merman said, would they be upset if I went home? I said, I think they would be very upset.
She just wanted to blow it off?
She said, I am beyond nervous. This is the stupidest thing I ever did to say I would be on this show. And I said, Ethel, there is nothing you can write on that card that is wrong. Just anything that comes into your mind, just write it on the card and that'll be fine. And so after, 2 minutes, she was loving the game. But the thing about it is you come to the game not having to know anything.
So the Dumb Dora is so dumb and all of that stuff, that was you as well?
That was me. As a matter of fact, I got one of the first electric typewriters that had a little bit of memory in it. And if you hit one, it typed out, Dumb Dora was so dumb that. And then I would write the rest of that question.
Right.
Key two was, Weird Willie was so weird that. And the third was, Dumb Donald was so dumb that. And then I would just, make up the questions.
So you started with Match Game way back in the day, in the early 60s.
Yes.
And then you were around for all those incarnations for Match Game.
Yes.
They used to change it by year. Match Game 72 and Match Game 73.
Until one day, Mark called everybody in and said, there is something coming along called syndication. So starting now, I want no year on any of the shows so that we can syndicate them. And I mean, who dreamed that how many years from the mid-60s to now that they're still running?
Yeah.
And even though they have the years on them, it doesn't matter.
They're still running on the Game Show Network?
They're running now on Buzzr.
Buzzr?
Yeah.
Did you know there was a channel, Buzzr?
No.
B-U-Z-Z-R.
I can't keep track of them.
Yeah.
Yeah. I've seen them on the Game Show Network.
Yeah.
Well, the Game Show Network's still around, isn't it?
Yeah,
they are.
Is.
But I'm not sure if Match Game's
still on
it.
Oh, now here's something even more important.
Yes.
I've heard several stories that all of the guests, those old-time comics and actors on the game shows, we're all totally shit-faced.
Well,
they used to do it.
In a way.
Well, Match Game and Hollywood Squares were the two that had the reputation for drunk celebrities.
Yes, yes. Well, the reason was you did all five. You do the whole week in a day.
Yeah.
Okay? And so they don't want the celebrities to leave the studio because there's an hour and a half turnaround.
Yeah.
So you do Monday, Tuesday, hour and a half break, and then you do Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. So the celebrities stay in the studio. So they would have lunch for them and wine. And so they could consume a lot of wine during lunch. And so the Wednesday, Thursday, Friday shows were always much sillier than the Monday, Tuesday shows.
What kind of guy was Rayburn? He always struck me as a sort of a fun-loving guy.
He really was. He was a
somebody
lot
didn't
of
didn't take it seriously.
No, he did not take it seriously. As a matter of fact, early on, we were doing the original, the straight questions, and no one was matching. And during the commercial, Rayburn, and I would sit next to Rayburn, but you couldn't see me. I was on headphones with the control room, and we were picking out the questions that were asked next. And this, and during the commercial, Rayburn leaned over and said, "Dear God, Dick, walk on camera, do something, break this up, because I am dying here." So so he started asking the question, and I said, "Did a ball come through here? I'm trying to play golf. You're asking questions. You're quite annoying. You know, there's a foursome over here." And anyway, so it got a laugh. And Goodson, Rayburn said, "Walk on anytime you want." Except a couple weeks later, Rayburn got called into Goodson's office to say that Match Game is not a comedy show.
Oh, my God.
I know.
God, how interesting.
Rayburn called me up and he said, "Dick, you're not going to believe this. Goodson is saying we shouldn't be kidding around." I'm going, "What?" And he said, "Yeah, let's just do it anyway, because, you know, I'm the star of the show." And then slowly it evolved into a very funny show.
Right. So you were
so
there.
Basically, they were stopping it saying, "Hey, people are laughing and enjoying this."
Yes, exactly.
Stop it immediately.
Yeah. Exactly. And
we don't
not paying
that.
Attention to my format.
We want it to be more like a lesson in school.
Yes, yeah. Yes, yes, exactly.
We will return to Gilbert Gottfried's Amazing Colossal Podcast after this.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
And now back to the show. You were there for the entire run, Dick, from 62
yes,
to...
Yes, and then it moved to California.
Right.
And,
you know,
and Goodson said, he said, "You want to go to California?" And I said, "No, what are you kidding?" I said, "Mark, I'm a native New Yorker, Mads here." And he said, "No, I'm keeping my New York offices. The show's going to California, but you can write it from here. You can write it anywhere."
Oh, that's ideal.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then he said, "But we're going to retool it, and we're going to have six celebrities instead of... It used to be two celebrities, four contestants. It's going to be six celebrities, two contestants." Anyway, he said, "It's going to be off the air for a year or more." He said, "Pick out another show that you think you want to work on and just tell the producer that you have to hire me." So I did like a year on What's My Line, and I worked on To Tell the Truth for a while. And it was great fun. It was really great
fun. Who was the host of What's My Line when you were there? Was it Larry Blyden? Wally Bruner?
It's hunted out as Wally Bruner.
Wally Bruner.
Yes. And
remember
then
him.
I worked on Feud for a while, which was Bert Convy.
Yeah. You have to tell us about Bert Convy.
Who, you know, passed on very early.
Bert Convy was a Jew.
Of course.
Yes.
He had a Jewfro.
What?
Yes. He was a Jew.
Why wasn't I told this?
Which leads us to my next question. That's not a question anymore. It's a fact. Paul Lynn was a vicious anti-Semite.
Well, you see, I don't know because Hollywood Squares was not a Goodson Todman show.
So, oh, right. Yeah.
So
he didn't play.
Well, act like you were in it.
Oh, that anti-Semite, I hated his guts.
If you listen to the...
I am sick that you brought that up.
As a Gentile.
I have had this hidden inside
me. If you listen to this show, you'd know Paul Lynn was an anti-Semite.
Tell us also that you used to be a writer for Cesar Romero.
I wrote all of his jokes. I did his stand-up on Broadway. Yeah,
it was
44th and Broadway.
And would deliver wedges of citrus fruit to his house.
Oh, my God. What type of citrus fruit was that?
I'm going to say it's either... Well, that's where the argument starts.
Now, no.
This has game show potential.
Yes. Cesar
Romero and the oranges.
It was limes.
Bert Convy died very young. He was a talented guy. And he did a lot of stuff.
Yes.
He was an actor.
On Broadway?
Yeah.
Do you know Rayburn was on Broadway for a short time?
I didn't know that.
Ray Byrne took over for Dick Van Dyke.
And Bye Bye Birdie? Are you serious?
Wow. Yes.
That's
for a month while he was on vacation, while Dick Van Dyke was on vacation.
Now, you used to write for Laurence Olivier and Danny Kaye.
Oh, cut that out.
Yeah, I did. I did.
Did you know Convy, Gilbert, was considered for the role of Barnabas Collins on Dark Shadows?
Oh, my God.
Unless IMDb is completely
Jonathan
full of shit.
Fritt.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow. He was a versatile actor.
Yeah, he was.
Bert Convy did it. And I also heard, this is bizarre, he was a delegate to the DNC in Chicago in 1968. Is this true? Or is this just like weird Bert Convy trivia?
Well, there's
a lot of websites on weird Bert Convy trivia.
Tell us about Tattletale, since we're talking about Bert Convy.
Oh, Tattletales was fun because it was, well, actually, Tattletales, I always get it mixed up with He Said, She Said. And
was that a game show?
Yeah, it's so funny. I can't remember if we renamed He Said, She
Said,
Tattletales.
It was also a Kevin Bacon movie.
It was the one where you asked the husbands a question.
Oh.
Yes. Okay.
Yes, and then the wives.
It was called that. Yes, you're right.
Right. So the funny thing was,
Tattletales was three spouses at sort of terminals.
Yes.
And their wives were on, or the husband was on headphones.
And,
Gene would tell,
oh, yes.
What is your husband going to say about this? Well, the funny thing was Joyce Brothers and her husband, in all the times they were on the show, never ever came close to what the other person would do.
Yeah.
The most amazing people were Steve Allen and Audrey Meadows.
Oh, Jane Meadows.
Jane Meadows, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
They matched every single time. And I was talking to Audrey Meadows in the dressing room, and I said, you guys have never, ever met. And she said, Dick, she said, one night I had a dream, and I was telling Steve the dream, and Steve said, I had that same dream.
That's bizarre.
It is bizarre. Yeah. They just knew what each other was thinking.
I remember Bobby Van.
Like you two guys.
We're the same way.
You're just on the same wavelength, which is a pathetic thing.
It is.
When you think about it.
It is.
Now, I this is probably not made by those people, but I've got a secret.
I've got a secret was Gary Moore actually owned I've Got a Secret, but it started out as Goodson Todman.
Okay. Now, that was invented by Alan Sherman. Was that the game show he invented?
You know what? I'm not sure. Because
look it up.
I'm here.
Oh, you know what? I'm thinking.
Earn your Diet
I'm thinking
Coke.
He's a man with computers, and
he's got a cell phone. Yeah.
He's got an Atari.
It's a low-budget show, Dick.
An Atari.
Gilbert, you're claiming that Alan Sherman created I've Got a Secret?
It's that or another game
That's
show.
That's pretty cool.
He did definitely invent a game. For those of you who don't know Alan Sherman out there, hello, mother, hello, father.
Yes.
And the voice of the Cat in the Hat.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I used to love Tattletales because you'd see Stiller and Mira. And
exactly.
Dick Gaudier used to come on with his wife and Bobby Van and Elaine Joyce.
Boy, yes.
More on Bobby Van later in the show. So you wrote the Tattletales questions?
The questions.
Right. I remember Bill Shatner and Marcy.
I do not remember them.
Do you remember what the dirtiest one you got away with was?
Yes.
Right away he goes to that.
ABC had a nighttime version of Match Game as a summer replacement. And we were told that the questions could be a little more risque. So the object was to write risque questions and then some out-and-out filth so that they would go, what? You know, John had the biggest blank and he stuck it in, you know.
And you actually submitted these.
Yes, uh-huh. Yes. So that when they got to the other questions, they would go, oh, this is right. So the one that I wrote that I thought they'll throw this out, did get on the air, was Unlucky Louie was so unlucky that when he went on her diet, he lost 3 inches, but he didn't lose it from his waist. He lost it from his blank. So that got on the air.
Wow.
That got on the air.
Wow.
Yeah. Can I go back to Alan Sherman?
Yes. Yeah. Yes. Solve
one
the mystery.
One of the jobs of research on his show is to find out if anything Gilbert says is true.
And we know the answer.
But here we go. Alan Sherman devised a game show he intended to call I Know a Secret.
Oh.
Television producer Mark Goodson used Sherman's idea and turned it into I've Got a Secret, which ran on CBS from 52 to 67. Rather than paying him for the concept, Mark Goodson, Bill Todman Productions made Sherman the show's producer.
How about
so
that?
They got the concept.
Gilbert. I was right.
Gilbert was right.
Ring
the bell. Ring the bell.
So I don't have to talk to you two fucking guineas.
Amazing. Let's put this in the record. What is this? The first thing tonight.
Before we jump off Match Game, tell us about Dickie Dawson, what kind of guy he was to work with. We're Hogan's Heroes fans.
Okay. Well, he was on the California version.
Okay.
So everything I heard was through Howard Felsher, who was the producer of the show. So he was really starstruck about himself. And what started a big feud, which got Howard was the producer of the show, and Richard Dawson banned him from the studio, that Howard could not come into the studio.
Really?
And it started with the game wheel. So at the end of Match Game, there's Super Match.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, okay. And the celebrities'
names are on the wheel. And
Yes, okay. Before that, the Super Match, the contestants got to pick any of the six people. 90% of the time, they picked Richard Dawson. Richard Dawson was right most of the time. But Mark was thinking, you know, the other celebrities look like the end of the show is for Richard Dawson only. You have to come up with a way to make it more fair. So they introduced the star wheel, which Richard Dawson said pissed him off.
Oh, because they wouldn't pick him every time.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. Interesting. Exactly. And after he forbid Rayburn from going to the studio, and Ira Scutch, not Rayburn, Howard Felsher, and Ira Scutch said to Richard, you know, you look unhappier and unhappier on this show. Would you like to get off it? And meanwhile, Richard has started doing Family Feud.
Right, right.
And he said, yeah, I'd like to get off it.
Yeah.
So he left and they just replaced him.
Goodson and Todman. Produced The Price is Right, Family Feud, Match Game, Password, Beat the Clock, To Tell the Truth, Tattletales, Card Sharks, I've Got a Secret, and the list goes on and on. They were the game
and
show kings.
I want to know, what did Brett Summers do before she got on game shows?
She was married to Klugman.
Yeah,
she was married to Klugman. I think she had little bit parts in shows. The funny thing about that was the opening week, Jack Klugman was one of the guests on Match Game. And 2 weeks after he was on, Klugman calls Ira Scutch and says, could you possibly use Brett for like one single show because she's driving me crazy to be on the show?
Oh,
that's great.
And Ira said, well, we only booked for five, but we have no problem booking her for five shows, and sat her next to Charles Nelson Reilly. And
they just clicked.
They just clicked.
Yeah.
And then a couple of weeks later, Jack Klugman called up and said, Ira, I got to thank you for giving her a chance. And Ira said, what are you kidding? Her and Charles Nelson Reilly are fantastic on this show. And they were on all the way through.
The two of them and Dawson.
And Dawson, exactly. Exactly.
And then they would mix in Fanny Flagg and Patty Deutsch.
Oh,
and Elaine Joyce.
Yes, exactly.
And Bill Daly.
Yes, and then the lower left was usually someone sort of on the new side.
Or cute. The cute girl was on the lower left next to Dawson.
Yeah,
probably
yes.
No accident.
Now, Dawson, everybody always does jokes about, like, you know what, a pervert he is, you know, like kissing
on Family Feud.
Yeah.
That was another thing with him that Howard Felsher told me, is that he went to kiss this woman who was the minister's wife, and
oh,
she said no. And Howard said, tell Ray, who is booking families in New York to send out to California, that Richard Dawson will not have any religious families on again.
Because the minister's wife wouldn't let him put one on her.
Right, exactly.
Here's some good Goodson and Todman trivia that you'll appreciate, Gilbert.
Okay.
They dabbled in scripted TV. The Richard Boone Show.
Yes, they did. Oh. They did a couple of shows.
Series,
yes.
And Gilbert will love this one. Branded.
Wow.
Chuck Connors.
Dun, 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 dun.
Oh, you know.
Only one man lived down in Bitter Creek, but they said he ran away. Branded. Scorned by the man who ran. What do you do when you're branded and you know you're a man? Pretty. Whatever you do for the rest of your life, you must prove you're a man.
I have that on your album.
Gottfried Sings, Old Squinty
Gottfried
Eyes
Sings
is back.
Old, yeah.
One of our fans sent us.
All right, so
what'd you bring us?
Was this scene?
Da-dun-da-dum-ba-dum. What is that? That looks like...
Oh, the mask?
It looks like Arlene Francis' mask from What's My Line. Am I correct?
You are absolutely correct.
Holy
wow.
shit. Dick has pulled out a black
photo,
mask.
A photo.
With, what are those, rhinestones?
No, they have, they're supposed to be like little pearls.
Little pearls.
Right.
And how about that?
Arlene
wearing
it.
Boy, does that bring
Look
back
at
memories.
That.
So listen to this. So when after Goodson passed on, they... War.
He died in 92.
Closing down the offices.
Yeah.
And
were they in the Seagram's building?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Marcus,
yeah, I remember.
One of the very first. Seagram building was a beautiful building.
On Park.
Yes.
Yeah.
And 52nd and the 53rd.
Yeah.
And so they are closing down the offices and they dumpsters everywhere and they're throwing stuff out. And I said, I opened this box and I said, wait a minute. These are the masks from What's My Line.
That's so cool that you have that.
And the office manager said, take them. I said, well, I can't take four. Like, this is like history. So everybody around said, oh, I'll take one. I said, but I want Arlene Francis's one because that's the most recognizable. But, you know, who ever dreamed that all of that stuff would be worth something these days?
Yeah, it's
that,
great.
That
it's
people,
a great...
And that matching game would still be running.
It's a great outfit.
And that I have made from the Game Show Network, and there's a picture of it on my website, I've made $1.18.
Oh, it's one of those residual checks.
Ah, yes.
Like you
yes,
get, Gil.
Yes. And yes. I called up and I said, so is this per show or per week or per month? And the guy said, no, that's the total payment. That is.
See, this is the thing about residuals that people don't know. It's like there are times I've gone down to the mailbox and it's loaded. It's bursting open with residual check. And I think, oh, my God, I retire now. And I add them all up like 1,000 checks and it comes to like 37 cents.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. My check from Family Food was 79 cents. Match Game was the big check because I was there for so long.
I get those too. Cartoons and things I've written, Pink Panther and things I've written, and you get excited. There's 30 of them, and each one's 80 cents.
Yes.
I have a check that I framed, and it's hanging in my bathroom that I got for a movie for a penny. And I put it there with a little Chinese fortune from a restaurant that says, your talents will be recognized and suitably rewarded.
Oh, that's great.
Yes.
That's great.
So we'll wrap this up. And, okay. And Dick, do you have a Gloria Swanson story?
Gloria, so Ray Pichon, who worked on the show, I said, let's try and book all the celebrities we ever wanted to see in person. So
that was smart.
We tried to get Mae West many times.
This is for Match Game?
For Match Game.
Uh-huh.
And finally I said to Ray, let me call the agent and say, you know, I'm with Mad and I'm a big fan. And so I called him and he said, Dick, here's the story on Mae West. She's legally blind. She only does she only does interviews in her living room where she knows where every piece of furniture is because she won't be seen with glasses. and there is no way she's ever going to go into a studio. We did get Joan Crawford, Lauren Bacall many times.
Yeah.
Lauren Bacall so many times that I finally got the Dick, call me Betty.
That's nice.
Yeah. So that was good. Gloria Swanson, who thought she was making something for Cecil B. DeMille.
Oh,
the poor thing.
We're ready to go, and they're doing the countdown to roll the tape, and the stage manager says through the headsets, you know, Gloria Swanson's not here. Dick, go out and find Gloria. So I go out, and she's all the way at the end of the hall carrying a rose in Twilight Zone, walking around. I said, Miss Swanson, we have 30 seconds to go.
She think you were Eric von Stroheim?
I should. Maybe I should have. I should have said, they're ready for your close-up now. Maybe that would have gotten
wow.
me to move a little faster.
Wow.
Oh, my anyway. God. That's sad.
Yeah. But anyway. And my other favorite thing was Jane Mansfield. Dick, go in. No one's talking to Jane Mansfield. Go in and sit and talk to her. So I did. She has a stack of books. I said, Jane, my God, what are you doing? She said, you know, I never got a college education. So I'm doing it now because I spend so much time on backstage waiting around. So we had a little chat. After the first match game, I happen to see her walking down the hall with her suitcase. And I go, where are you going? I said, there are four more shows. She said, no, I'm just booked on the first one. So I said, please don't go anywhere. So they had to call her agent, get her into the control room so the agent can say, Jane, it's five shows. You have to stay there all day. And then all the women there were trying to find things, swapping out clothes so she could have five different things to wear on the five shows.
But, another person who came to a bad end.
That, yes, exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Did you brought two changes of clothes to this,
just in case. Mm-hmm. Did you ever do any other game shows other than Hollywood Squares, Gil? You never did Pyramid or any of those?
I did. What was the show that Donny Osmond?
Pyramid.
Oh, Pyramid. That's
yeah.
the
you
one
couldn't
that
use
I
your
did.
Hands?
Yeah, what?
Were you just sat in the winner's circle at the end and you
oh,
couldn't
yes,
use your hands?
Yes. Yeah.
Were you so good? Did you do good?
Yeah. I mean, it was like, I
That's
remember
a hard show,
I asked
right?
the producer. And
to
I was
give you the answers?
Well, they did. It was like, it was funny. I asked the producer, I said, I don't know, is it hard to play this game? And he goes, no, it's really easy. And I said, well, how easy? He goes, did you see Quiz Show?
Are you serious?
Yes.
Oh, that is so funny. Oh, my God.
Okay, now we have to wrap with...
let's see if you get the name right this time.
Donnie Barlow.
Yeah, that's it.
Yes.
Donnie
Perfect.
Barlow.
Perfect.
I like that.
Yes. That's my stage name, so it's
not Donnie yes. Brasco. Donnie Barlow.
Yeah.
Can I find these episodes of you on $20,000 Pyramid?
Oh, that would be good.
I'd like to see that.
Yeah, I just did like a week's
Who
work.
Was the other celeb?
Yeah, you did five shows,
oh,
right?
God, I don't remember. Really? What I remember...
Stood out to you.
There was some black actress. I don't remember her name now, but she had gone out. They filmed a couple of segments, and then they quickly took her aside and told us something very sternly. And in the next scene, she definitely had a bra. Because
that's your memory.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
And I kept cracking jokes every time I saw her. About her tits.
And then they took
that.
You aside, and then you came back wearing a jock.
Yes.
I remember that.
But I kept ragging on her the whole rest of the day.
Oh, my God.
And when I was leaving for the day, I go to my dressing room, and she wrapped her bra around the doorknob.
Oh, my God.
Showbiz memories.
Yes.
Wow.
Okay.
Dick, thanks for this. It was fun and informative.
Great.
Dick Bartolo.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. C. Bartolo.
I'm just going to change my
Dick
name.
Dick Bartolo.
You forgot the D.
And fuck it. The rest of us here are Gilbert Gottfried and Frank Santopadre.
Take us out with some match game music, Frankie. Thank you, Dick.
And this has been Gilbert and Frank's Amazing Colossal Obsession.